Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Parents Tool Talk Radio with your host, Jody Johnston Powell, licensed social worker, certified family life educator, second generation parent educator, and author of the award-winning book, The Parents Tool Shop, the universal blueprint for building a healthy family. For over 25 years, Jody has been training parents and family service professionals nationwide and serving as a parenting expert to the media worldwide. Now, through the Parents Tool Talk radio show and teleseminar series, Jody shares her practical advice and introduces you to other experts who can give you proven effective advice on the issues that matter most to parents. So get ready to be informed, entertained, and enlightened as we join Jody now.
Hello, and welcome to Parents Tool Talk Radio. I'm so glad you've joined us today. I'm Jody Johnston Powell, author of The Parents Tool Shop, and your host. Today's topic is reducing teen dating violence. So by the end of today's show, you will know what an abusive relationship looks like, what parents can do when their teen is in an abusive relationship, how to support teens through a breakup, how parents can help their teens have healthy relationships, and much, much more. Before we dive into our discussion, I've got just a few announcements. First of all, let me tell you how you can call in live with questions. I'm going to tell you this, but I'm also going to tell you we know we're having problems with call-ins today. Even our producer was unable to call in. I do have good news, though. I do have our guest on the line. So we will go forward with the show, but let me give you two ways to ask questions. The first is try by phone if you'd like to have a conversation with us, and that number is 347-205-9654. You can just listen that way, but if you have a question, hit the one key on your telephone keypad, and that'll raise your hand, and we'll know that you want us to actually come to you, open up your line, and ask a question. If you can't get through, or you just want to send through on the chat room, just go to the chat room, and my producer, Chris Gooley, will be taking a look at that, and he'll get your question and pass it on to us. So just go to parentstooltalk.com, click the play/chat button that's just underneath today's show title and description, and you can just type in your question there, and we'll be taking a look at that when we go to our breaks around 20 and 40 after the hour. My last announcement is I just want to remind all foster parents, if you want to get continuing education credits for listening to this call, just check in at the beginning and the end of the show. You can either call in or you can use the chat room. The directions are at www.parentstooltalk.com/info, I-N-F-O. Okay, so call in if you can, and it looks like we do have our producer on the line. Good. Let me just check in with him real quick, and then I'm going to introduce Char. Let's see, am I able to,
Hi, Jody, can you hear me?
There we go. Are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay, good. Glad we got you on the line. I did let folks know that we're having trouble with people getting into the line, so are you able to keep an eye on the chat room for us?
Yes, I can. Thankfully, the chat room is working, and hopefully the switchboard is now accepting calls. It seems like it didn't really start until after the show started. So anybody out there who wants to call in with questions, feel free to give it a try.
Okay, great. And the number, again, for that, real quick, is 347-205-9654. Okay, Chris, I'm actually going to put you you can put yourself on mute now, right?
I can't now.
Okay, great. Our producer's here. Wonderful. Okay, let's get started. I would love to introduce my special guest expert today. I'm really excited to have Char Camper with us. She lives and teaches in California, and she's a lifelong educator who has worked with children and adolescents for over 25 years. She has a degree in family studies and is a certified family life educator, as am I, the only international certification for family life educators. Char has used her interest and experience to develop and author 5 relationship education programs that are now used nationally for teens. Her Connections series was the first to be adopted for statewide school use by the Oklahoma Healthy Marriage Initiative. Her innovative and easy-to-teach programs address important issues that help teens establish positive and meaningful life relationships at all levels, including friendships, dating, getting along better with parents and peers, and for older teens, understanding marriage. Her programs are used in schools, teen pregnancy prevention programs, after-school programs, and other community youth and recreation organizations. So, Char, thanks for so much for being on the show with us today.
Well, thank you for having me. This is exciting.
I'm excited, too, and I'm glad we were able to connect with you in light of all of the technical issues, too. So thanks for your flexibility and patience on that.
Oh, I'm happy to do it.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and dive into our discussion because I know you have a lot of valuable information to share with our listeners. So if you could first, our topic is teen dating violence, so let us know, how big of a problem is teen dating violence?
You know, Jody, it is becoming more and more prevalent among teens. Dating violence has always existed, but we're seeing more and more young people entering into the dating world now, and we are seeing an escalation of these types of aggressive behaviors, acquaintance rape, and so on. Most of the reports that we're reading and are coming out right now are indicating that we're seeing a rise in those incidences among teens. So it was a concern of mine, especially because I work with teenagers, and they do come and talk with me often. And I was also seeing young people struggling with this issue. So I thought it was really important in my new program to be able to address teen safety, dating protocols, what to look for, just to help them out to get a better idea of what the problem really is.
Yes, and obviously you've tapped into something probably even bigger than you expected.
Oh, much. And
yeah.
I'm so glad that people are interested in it because quite often this is a very underreported situation. And unless you work with teenagers or you're involved directly with some of the issues that they're dealing with right now, a lot of people are just unaware of how teenagers are approaching this and what the real issues are for them. So I'm really delighted if your listening audience today will take an interest in it and really check into the teenagers they know or people that in their local communities to say, you know, there's something here that we can help you with, and here's how to do it.
Yeah. So tell us some of the statistics that you know about how often teen dating violence is probably just reported. I'm sure the numbers are actually bigger than whatever is, I'm sure your stats come from what's reported, but it's probably a bigger problem than that. And any other related issues that we're going to be getting into today?
All right. Well, just to kind of set the stage a bit, what we're finding, and depending, of course, on what information and what research you're documenting, and there are various numbers coming from different places, so I do want to clarify that right from the beginning.
Great.
Some of the more recent ones, however, I know that the CDC has alerted over the last couple of years that their estimates are 1 in 4 teenagers are reporting that they've been in some type of an abusive relationship. Now, they're not all physical abuses. There are a variety of different types of abuses, but 1 in 4 is a pretty significant statistic when you think about the numbers of our teens. Another number that I think would be important to understand is that when our young girls and boys get onto the high school campuses, they get their driver's licenses, dating becomes their way of socializing. But right up through early college, young girls between the ages of 16 and 24 do have the highest risk and the highest incidences of acquaintance rape, partner abuse. Because they're in the dating arena, they are in a more at-risk situation.
Mm-hmm.
And we also find, and one other report that I just will quickly throw out, is that report by among high school students, they had done some surveys and they had done some research, and 1 in 11 teens reports being hurt by someone that they are dating or have dated. So, you know, when you start to put those numbers in perspective, I think we really do need to address this issue and give kids some help and parents some help for addressing this if they're dealing with it.
Definitely, definitely. So tell us then, what can parents be looking for? Because I would imagine the teens need to know what to look for, or if teens are aware that they're in an unhealthy relationship, they might not want to tell their parents, you know, trying to deal with it on their own. So what are some warning signs that both teens and parents can be looking for so they recognize before it gets abusive, maybe even, what they need to be looking for?
Yes, and this is really a two-part answer, Jody, because we have, first of all, that the teenager themselves, the teenagers, are not always understanding that what they're doing is abusive. There seems to be a real lack of clarity of what constitutes an abusive act or what constitutes a relationship that isn't a healthy one. We know that girls do tend to be more confused about that than the boys, but it's a problem for both males and females to be able to identify that they are in an unhealthy relationship. Then when they go home and the parents are observing some of the behaviors, the parents can also, you know, they're kind of that second really important component to helping a young person understand and address what's happening to them. But parents can certainly begin to notice if the teenager begins to behave differently. For instance, if there are suddenly more problems at school, behavior issues, encounters with teachers or with peers, suddenly the behavior changes. Or if you begin to see truancy, the young person is not attending school, starting to lie about those kinds of things, or you start to see failing grades, suddenly the grades are dropping dramatically, and the parent is going, but I thought you were doing your homework, and suddenly they're getting reports from teachers, and I have to do that all the time. I'm often in conversation with parents who really didn't know that the grades were sliding until the notifications came. If a young person seems really confused and they can't seem to make a decision or their decisions are not positive ones, the parents can really begin to take a clue as to, could something possibly be going on that I'm not aware of?
Yeah, and I would imagine, too, just behavioral changes, such as maybe if they're normally talkative, suddenly becoming withdrawn, if they're...
Moody, sure, moody. We do know that sometimes the young boys, just because of testosterone and what's happening in the brain, they do get angry a little more easily. They may show more aggression or violence at home or with friends. You know, you just start to see some patterns that are different. And a real clue is substance abuse. If parents start to be aware that their young person has started to use alcohol or other types of drugs, you know, that's a real clue. So parents can just be vigilant and begin to really engage in what's happening in their teenager's life.
Okay, good. So that's from the parent's perspective. What about from the teen's perspective that maybe we as parents can be sharing with our children, or that you teach the teens when you work with them? What are some of the warning signs that you tell the teens to look out for?
You know, I take a very proactive role, whether it's in my classroom or whether it's in working with the programs that I've written. I really think teenagers have a heart to want to do well and to want to do things right. But sometimes they just don't have the guide. And so what we want to do, and if you have a young female teen, encourage her to understand that someone who is play fighting with her or someone who is injuring her, that's not normal. That's abusive if she's being injured through what looks like play, but it really isn't. Over control by a boyfriend, or even boys will report this, that a girlfriend might be over controlling, that's not protective. It may be interpreted as, oh, they're just protecting me, but it really isn't. It is over control, and it's an abusive pattern that they should be aware of. Any type of sexual pressure that's uncomfortable or beyond what this young person's values or boundaries are, and I think it's very important for teens to speak up very honestly about their expectations. Sexual pressure is not necessarily normal. And so, but so often girls will have the idea that they have to be sexual, that there's a requirement to be sexual, and that that's normal. And so I think, you know, when it comes to instructing particularly young girls, we tend to be more romantic. And, you know, I was a young teenage girl, you were, and, you know, we want to perceive that, that we're being cared for and someone is thinking about us and it's genuine caring. But so often, if you're not looking at it clearly, it can be misinterpreted.
Yeah.
And rather, they get into relationships that actually are just not positive. And for the young boys, they really need to clue in that some of the things that they are also doing is actually in the realm of hurting someone else. It's not manly to control physically. It's not manly to be demanding. But there's sort of this interpretation or idea that that's what it is to be a man. And so I think we have to kind of work with those expectations that our young people have and be very clear about what is and what isn't healthy behavior.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. So, no, we've been talking a lot about abusive relationships, about abusive relationships with teens. How does it differ? And actually, let me just mention to our listeners that those warning signs, Char is going to be offering a resource, a free resource for our listeners that will give you some information on that. So I'll just make a note of that. We'll tell you about that a little bit more in the show. So how does date rape differ, and I guess I've been debating whether or not to say this or not, and I'm going to go ahead because I hope that it will help people. I was never in an abusive relationship, but I came very close, not once, but three times experiencing date rape. And I was very careful, and the fact I even got out of it unscathed to this day amazes me. I think I may have had a guardian angel or something that helped me escape. But it's really common. So how, you know, obviously I didn't get into a relationship with any of those folks. I mean, that was it. I didn't get into an abusive relationship. But what are some warning signs, and how is date rape different from a more ongoing abusive relationship in terms of either the dynamics or the warning signs?
Well, I think in many cases the sexual behaviors are used as the weapon. We have a lot of, again, young girls who presume that being desired, that this is good. It shows that I'm valued. But what, in fact, if young people don't know where their boundaries and limits are, they really have to honor their own personal value system. And when someone is pressuring, and it can be either male or female, because I have had boys who have shared with me as well that the girlfriends are just pressuring them into sexual behaviors that they really don't want to do.
Yeah, good point.
Yes, exactly. And you have to. We also have to recognize that the teen brain is not a mature brain. The emotion center of the brain is not in its adult state. And the judgment center, that wonderful frontal lobe that kind of puts boundaries around us and helps us plan and make good decisions, all of that is still in an immature state. And so young people, if they allow that emotion center to just sort of begin to take over, they're not thinking about their future. They're not thinking about how is this going to affect me later on, and does this person really care about me, and is this really a loving act, or is it one in which I am being used for personal satisfaction, or I am being used solely for someone else's desires, and it is not bringing any type of satisfaction, or I'm afraid of this person. This is one of the biggest issues with acquaintance rape, and I'm so concerned because I wish I had an opportunity to tell the listening audience how many times I have had young girls sobbing in my classroom telling me, I just thought my boyfriend knew. I never thought he would do anything like this to me. And it's those expectations of I'm in a safe environment, and then they find out that they're not. And that is so devastating to a young person. And you're absolutely right. One of the things that I encourage them is have a safety plan.
Yeah.
Seriously, have a safety plan. Someone you can call, a way to exit yourself from the situation.
Mm-hmm.
Someone who is expecting you at a certain time to be in a certain place. Just really have that plan B. Maybe you won't need it, but maybe you will. And just use that buddy system, especially if they're going with someone. The that they don't know or someone that they're not familiar with, that's a risky situation. And just not to put yourself into that kind of a situation that makes you so uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And the sad thing is many of these happen with friends. So they think they are in a safe environment, and then it turns out to not be. And it's so sad.
Yeah. In fact, both times I was with a friend and didn't know what I was getting into. And both times I left and I walked. So, and one time I was fairly close to home, but the other time I was pretty far. And this was before the days of cell phones. So I think I may have had a quarter. Once I did have a quarter and called and got my parents to come pick me up. But the other time I walked a really long way to get home. And
so
it was, to me,
so
that was
high.
Yeah, and to me, the risk of walking home, and of course, back then, it still wasn't necessarily safe to be doing that, but I felt like I knew it was dangerous to stay, so I had to take my risks to leave.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, and had I been thinking ahead, you know, I wasn't thinking, I didn't have all this knowledge, you know, that we have now. Yeah, I wasn't driving at the time or whatever. I didn't drive that night. I don't even remember, but, you know, I didn't have any other way to get out of the situation other than to physically just walk. So, yeah.
And, you know, perpetrators look for the person who's sort of vulnerable. They they will often target the person who doesn't look like they have an escape, or they will target the person who they think is going to let them do whatever they choose to do. And, you know, that's exactly it. And so to be a little more aware of certain situations. And I tell my students and young people that I know all the time, you have a little voice. And when you hear that little voice telling you, I'm uncomfortable here, I need to get out of here, listen, do it. You'd much rather leave early, get yourself out of a situation, than the aftermath of something that is just regret and sadness and may take years to overcome for many of our young people. So, I just tell them, listen to that voice. If you don't think this is a good situation, leave. Any way you can.
And they do need to get that. And I know I had that talk with my daughter, and she only had, fortunately, only one dating situation, and they were in a movie, and he did a few things that she felt uncomfortable with, and she did not waste time. She got up and she walked out, and she gave me a call, and I came and picked her up.
Good
so,
for her.
Yeah, and I was really pleased, and I still, you know, have a nickname for that particular guy whenever we see him. But it really, you know, that is the key in terms of teaching kids to listen to that inner voice, and we can talk a little bit more about how to do that a little bit later in the show. While we're on the topic of warning signs, let's just kind of wrap this up, and then we'll check and see if there's any, you know, questions or whatever in our chat room. If parents do see these warning signs, how can they go about finding out if abuse has happened or if it's going on? How can they go about trying to find out?
You know, the majority of teenagers that I have worked with really do want someone they love and trust to care about them. And I would encourage parents just to start asking questions in a very supportive environment. Tell the young person how much you care about them. You know, share with them the positive expectations that you have for their future. And, you know, just let them know that they're a support team, not someone who's trying necessarily to meddle into their life, but that we're a team together. We want to get you to a safe place in your life. I care about what's happening to you. And just to really give that opportunity for talking. You know, it may mean turning off the computer and letting the cell phone ring through. I have a lot of teens who tell me that they're in the middle of a conversation with someone, an adult, and the phone rings and the phone wins. You know, that's a message to that young person that they're less of a priority. And I think we do it without even realizing it. We live in such a busy, and oftentimes parents are stressed and, you know, they're trying to get as much done as they can. But I really think that time to just sit and talk, maybe you have to just take time at midnight to sit together or go for a walk or, you know, whatever it might be. But just be open to let the teenager begin to trust. And it's amazing what they will share with you when they feel safe.
Yes. And our response then also is important, because sometimes we're going to hear things we aren't real happy about hearing. So we have to be careful about our reactions and knowing how to listen. So, and
absolutely.
That's, yeah. And that's
one
of the
reasons. The worst thing that we can do is to be extremely judgmental, become very, very angry
mm-hmm.
at what we're hearing. And my mm-hmm. husband and I, we raised three teenagers. I mean, they were all in high school about the same time. And, you know, we understand. And sometimes teens want to talk at 1 in the morning.
Yeah.
But, you know, you just have to be available at that
yeah.
time, because if that's when they want to talk,
yeah.
That's when you have to just say, okay, I'm here.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, that sort of flexibility, waiting for the door to open on their side. But I think parents can be a little more proactive, too, and just sort of say, hey, I'm here, and I care.
Mm-hmm.
Talk.
Mm-hmm.
So I love to see that parent-child relationship strengthen and heal, because it's so important to the teenager. There's no relationship in the world more important than the parent relationship.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I will be, there's an article I'll be sharing in our bonus resources along with your resources on how to help teens open up and talk and how to respond mm-hmm. in helpful ways. So listeners, we will be giving you some extra information on that in terms of how to handle those situations and stay calm and really be responding, starting out and responding in a way that opens the door to communication. Good. Well, let me just take a quick station ID, make a couple of announcements. I'm going to have check and see. I am not seeing any other callers, so I'm actually suspecting that people are still having a hard time calling in. And we'll see whether or not anybody shows up here in the chat. But let me just take a few quick minutes now just to welcome those of you who may have joined the show late. I know some of you had problems dropping in. This is Parents Tool Talk Radio, and I'm your host, Jody Johnston Powell, of the Parents Tool Shop. And today we're talking with Shar Camper, who's a certified family life educator, and we're talking about reducing teen dating violence. So if you do have questions about our topic today, you can still try to call in. I'm not sure if you can get through, but if you want to try calling in, the number's 347-205-9654. That's 347-205-9654. And then hit the 1 key on your phone keypad to raise your hand so we know you've got a question. You can also go to parentstooltalk.com and go into the chat room, and you can type in your question there, and our producer will be taking a look at those and letting people know. So if you would like to get access to this month's bonus resources that Shar and I have been mentioning, then you're going to want to sign up for the Parents Tool Talk mailing list. You'll also receive links to featured resources from both Parents Tool Shop and our guests, information about upcoming shows, tips on downloading the Parents Tool Talk recordings to your computer, and how to subscribe to an RSS feed, and even more. So it's really the only way to get the exclusive information that we only offer to our loyal listeners, and to get additional information and access to bonus resources. Some of the resources we will have available to everyone for the next month, and then there's some that we only offer to that list. So to sign up for that list, go to www.parentstooltalk.com/links with an S. That's www.parentstooltalk, all one word, .com/LINKS. So just know that I will never share your private information with anyone for any reason. I turn down offers all the time. We will only send you the information that you've asked for. So that puts you on the Parents Tool Shop list and our sub list just for the mailing, for the radio show. So let's see. I'm not seeing any callers. I don't believe there's any questions in the chat room, and I'll just have my producer, we're chatting. He can let me know whether or not we have any questions that come up. So let's get back to our expert, Shar Camper, and let's kind of head into a slightly related, let's take a look at some action things here. So we've talked about how to recognize whether or not your teen is in an abusive relationship, and we've also had some information to give teens so they can recognize. So if a parent realizes that their teen is in an abusive relationship, what can they do?
Well, there are a number of resources that are available. First of all schools and high schools do have counseling staff who are trained and can work with these types of situations. So I would encourage the parents immediately to contact the school, the young person's counselor, to get them involved. It may also require getting in touch with the law authorities. If there are things that are, if there's physical abuse and threats against the young person, whatever level that abuse might be. But number one, this couple, this young person needs to get out of the relationship. They need to exit themselves from that dating relationship and get to a place where they are not involved with that person and those behaviors anymore. So just to helping that young person, Jody, one of the lessons in several of my programs, I guide young people and give them the tools for how to break up successfully. This is a hard thing. A lot of young people are afraid to break up, or they're uncomfortable because they think they're going to be alone, so they'll stay in an inappropriate relationship or an abusive relationship rather than breaking up. And so, you know, they just need to be encouraged that it's going to be okay. You'll get through this. We'll do it together. Yes, it may be uncomfortable for a while, but you'll be so glad that you actually did this. And, you know, no one deserves to be mistreated.
So do you now, if the teens are willing to break up, you know, parents, so let me just clarify. So are you saying that when parents suspect or they know that their teen's in an abusive relationship, one of the first things they should do is to contact the school and involve others, or should they talk with the teen first and see if they're willing to break up, and only if that's a problem or, you know, like there's some kind of threat, then go to help? At what point would you involve others, right off the bat, or would there be circumstances you could wait?
Well, of course you talk with the teen themselves first, and I think most parents, if they are aware of any situation like this that might be putting their teenager in danger, they're going to speak with that teenager immediately.
Right.
Because they're in the home and they see the effects. They may have already been receiving phone calls from the school or institution where this young person is going. Very often teachers notice immediately the truancies, the absences. As I mentioned before, they notice a drop in grades. Parents are immediately notified by most schools that there's something happening. But it, absolutely, the counselors, and I know at my particular school, we have a wonderful staff of counselors. They work with the students one-on-one. They have amazing resources, and they know how to counsel and work with young people. They work with the authorities. And if a young person does need more assistance beyond that, clearly parents should feel free to engage more people involved. They may have to have a restraining order. They may have to have something that's more legal to keep a young person away from an abusive partner. So it depends on the level of need, and certainly the level of threat against that young person. But for sure, number one, that young person needs to get away from the relationship itself, and I think parents can be a real help with that and a support through that time, and you know, I think that's clearly where it needs to start.
So if we're encouraging the teen to break up, say they're, you know, why would a teen not break up? I mean, what is it that they say to themselves that would keep them in an abusive relationship, or if they break up, having them go back to reconcile?
Now, if a young person doesn't know the difference between a healthy relationship and an unhealthy one, they may think that what they're dealing with is normal. So one is just, what are the expectations that this young person has? We also have a lot of teens today, and the statistics are telling us that many, many teens are feeling isolated, they're lonely, they feel disconnected from their peers. You know, when someone is dating you, it makes you feel desired. It makes you feel like someone cares about you, and that feels good. And so many young people will put up for the bad with the bad times because there might be some good times in there. And so, again, because of their own feelings or loneliness, they may be willing to put up with that type of relationship. And, again, it depends on maybe the relationships at home that have been modeled to them have not been different from what they're experiencing.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, what relationships parents model at home has a big influence as well on what this young person's expectation is about what a healthy relationship should be.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's never just a simple answer, but for sure we need to help a young person identify what truly is a healthy relationship and which one isn't, and that they will be okay if they break up with this person, that there are other friendships, other support systems available to them to help them get through it. It's not the end of the world
mm-hmm.
because you've broken up with somebody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so go a little bit more into the parents' role in terms of modeling healthy relationships. You had mentioned that. Go a little bit more into that and share with us in terms of what is it that kids see in terms of modeling. And, you know, you had mentioned before, you know, some boys might think it's manly to do this or that, or that there are skills that teens need to know. What role do parents play in helping their teens have those healthy relationships?
Well, for sure, just how they treat one another, just basic social skills. Parents can take a look at what's the communication style between the members in the household. How do they talk to one another? How do they address issues together? Is there a way that they have modeled conflict resolution or
mm-hmm.
decision making? Do they have family conferences when the whole family might be involved in maybe a major decision or a move or something that might affect everyone? The modeling, to me, is so important. Just even teamwork. Is your young person observing healthy teamwork when things need to get done around the house? Do you work together on things?
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of modeling that parents can do. Now, we also have the issue of a good share of our teens and young children as well are living in single-parent households. I think the latest statistic is about 23.5% or 24% of our young teens are living in a mother-only family. And so maybe a male role model isn't available. But even mentors or other family members, grandparents, uncles, someone who might be a really good mentor or role model for the young man in the household,
mm-hmm.
That can be very effective for showing how you treat others and how you treat your partner and, you know, just really role modeling positive values
mm-hmm.
so that the young person has something to, you know, a goal of some kind,
mm-hmm.
something that they can say, oh, you know, I'd like to be like that.
Right, right. And I would imagine, too, for single parents, if they're dating, teens are watching, you know, what their
absolutely
dating behavior
oh, yes.
is. And I think one of the misconceptions I hear a lot of parents saying, and I even hear some professionals saying, you know, never argue in front of the kids. And I have to personally disagree a little bit with that or put a qualifier on it. You know, I think one of the things that I can just speak from experience, my parents were actually marriage encounter facilitators, and they would always wait till we went to bed. They'd work out all their problems. There was no arguing, you know, whatever. But I never once saw my parents in conflict or even having a disagreement, or I never even saw them angry. And as a result, I never learned how to deal with anger and stress and how to work out those problems. So I think if we work through problems in healthy ways, it can be, if it's an appropriate topic, it can be appropriate and helpful for kids to observe not only that there are disagreements, but see how people work through those disagreements and come to a resolution. I think that's really important.
And, you know, Jody, you've targeted a very key issue. It isn't that couples don't argue. And even dating couples, there are going to be things that you disagree about.
Mm-hmm.
And it really isn't even the number of arguments that couples have, although if there are arguments and conflicts in the relationship on a consistent basis,
mm-hmm.
it probably isn't healthy. But having said that, we have to understand, and I think your point is very well put, kids, it isn't the conflict itself that's the problem. It's if that conflict never gets resolved.
Mm-hmm.
If kids see parents at odds with each other. If things don't get settled, couples need to be able to work things out. And it's that role modeling of negotiation. Okay, let's meet in the middle. You know, let's get this thing settled. It isn't that we don't disagree with one another, but let's resolve it. And that is such a key message to young people, so that arguments don't result in violence, they don't result in divorce. How well is this couple or are these parents or the parent models able to show a young person, yes, we disagree, but we've worked it out. We have found a way through it. And that's such a key lesson for young people to see.
Yeah, I agree. It really is helpful. Well, let's take another break to try to either bring people into discussion, and I also want to get a chance to tell people about some of the bonus resources that both of us are offering to today's listeners. So feel free to take a breath and get a drink, wet your whistle again, before we head into our last segment of questions. For those of you who have just joined us, this is Parents Tool Talk Radio, and I'm your host, Jody Johnston Powell of the Parents Tool Shop. And today we're talking with Shar Camper on the subject of reducing teen dating violence. So if you have any questions about our topic today, you can either call in at area code 347-205-9654 and hit the 1 on your phone keypad to raise your hand, or you can send us a question using the chat room at www.parentstooltalk.com. So actually, I will keep my eye on the switchboard for callers, but Chris, my producer, is actually going to give you some information. He was talking with Shar about some of the resources that she had, so he's pulled together all the information, and he's going to share that with you. You there, Chris?
Yep, Jody, I am. Can you hear me?
Yep.
Okay, good. I wanted to make sure.
Yes.
All right. All right. Yes, we have actually two free articles on the Parents Tool Shop website that we'd like to direct everyone to today. And as you mentioned, Jody, we also have some very special resources from our guest expert, Shar Camper. And I'd like to begin with those. First, we have a Dating Bill of Rights. This is actually a card, but it can be printed at any size, so it can be kept in a wallet. This is a digital product. And among the reminders that it gives teens are that they have the right to ask for a date, refuse a date, ask for affection or refuse affection, and have the right to be treated with respect. This is a very nice document, and like I mentioned before, just I'll say it again so it's nice and clear, it's coming to you as an Acrobat file, a PDF, and you can print it off at any size, whether you want it to be regular letter-sized sheet of paper or something that you can fit in a wallet. And that's actually the case with our next resource as well, which is called Be Smart and Safe. Usually this is printed out as a poster size, and instructors can put them up on their walls. What this poster does is it lists the road signs of abusive behaviors that teenagers can look for in their relationships. And the third resource from Shar is a sample lesson from her newest curriculum called Healthy Choices, Healthy Relationships. And this lesson is called Pulling It Together, and it deals with the subject of teen stress. Stress is a strong contributing factor in teen violence because many teens become more aggressive when they're under stress. And these are all excellent resources, and they're all free. And we are so grateful both to Shar and to her publisher for being so generous as to offer them to everyone listening at no charge. Now, for the Parents Tool Shop resources, we are featuring this month. They tie in with the topic we're discussing today. Shar mentioned what an important factor self-esteem plays in teen violence. So Jody would like the listeners to read her article that discusses some myths and truths about self-esteem and how parents can help build self-esteem in their kids without inflating their egos. And the second article she recommends reading is about how to get teens to talk and to listen and respond in ways that invite open, sharing relationships between parents and teens. And so that's a total of 5 resources for this month, 3 from Shar, 2 from Jody, and links to all of these resources can be found on our radio show website. So just go to www.parentstooltalk.com /links. So once again, that's www.parentstooltalk.com/links, L-I-N-K, excuse me, there's not a letter key. It's /L-I-N-K-S. And now I'll hand things back over to you, Jody.
Good, thank you. And just to clarify, that links page changes as with each show that we do, right, per month?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. And then the people who are on our list, they get an email with links to that, so they would have access to those beyond that first month.
That's correct.
Okay.
Yes, if you sign up for the mailing list, then you'll receive emails at the end of each show so that you'll have links to all of our resources for all of our shows as long as you have those emails.
Okay, great. All right. I thought that's how it worked and just wanted to make sure.
Yep.
Great. All right. Well, thank you, Chris, for making those resources so easily available to our listeners and updating that links page every time. And thank you, Shar, for being so generous and offering so many resources this month. I think they all sound really valuable.
Well, I'm certainly hoping that your audience will take advantage of them. I think they will really see how helpful they are for any teens that they might be near or even in the neighborhood. Just, you know, pass them out and let's pass the word to the dean.
Yeah, I agree. Well, let's shift a little bit. A lot of times I'll start with prevention at the beginning, but let's talk a little bit about prevention at the end. I think we've gotten through most of the really critical, you know, how to stop it. But let's talk a little bit about being proactive. For people who maybe don't have teens who are listening to this, you know, obviously this is something anyone would want to prevent their teen from getting into an abusive relationship. So what are some things that, and we've already talked about the parents' relationship, so we've covered that, of being a good role model, what kinds of skills, you told us what kinds of skills parents need to model for their children, which then implies if they don't have those skills, parents themselves need to learn them. And I know my parenting classes and other people, you know, around the country are offering programs along with other tool shop instructors around the country for where parents can learn those skills. Because parenting isn't all just about what you do, quote, to your child around misbehavior. A lot of parenting is how you handle all of your family relationships, and those communication and listening tools are not just what you use with your kids, but you use them all the way through the family. So I think you've given us some good suggestions on that.
Well, and Jody, I think it's important for people to be encouraged, too. None of this is myth. None of this is, you know, foggy. There are certain things that work in families. There
yep.
are certain things that don't. There are things that work in dating, things that don't.
Mm-hmm.
And they're very teachable, and they're very learnable. And, you know, it's just a matter of, okay, let's clue in and let's talk about some of these things. And, yeah, skills can be learned at any age, at
yep.
any level. It doesn't matter.
Yeah. I think that the big thing that we're really seeing, and this kind of relates to why I will only have people on, I will only recommend resources, and I will only choose tools to include in my resources that are research-based. Because I think in the past, there's been this big perception that parenting is just a matter of opinion. And it's not. I think you're exactly right. I think it's a matter of science and history. You know, history shows us, you know, when people behave in certain ways, they tend to get certain outcomes. We have research that's been able to track those. And so I think at this point, parents never before have been so fortunate as to have so much proven information at their disposal. It's just that I think there's still that perception out there, you know, parenting classes are just for bad parents and, you know, the information, well, that's just your opinion. And it really isn't. I think what you're sharing with us in this particular, you know, scope of parenting is, you know, we do have research and we do see what kinds of warning signs are there. And when you see this, it increases the likelihood, you know, that we're going to be seeing an abusive relationship in the future. Or if parents behave this way, it increases the likelihood that their children might get into a similar kind of relationship. So I think that's one of the reasons why I am very choosy about having very good experts like you on the show, because I want to make sure that we're really guiding parents, not just with this is Shar's opinion, you know, that this really is something based on research and that it's something that there is information out there that's accurate and that parents can really rely on to help them with these challenges.
You know, it's so true, Jody. All of the materials that I have written for teenagers are based on the very best learning concepts, the very best information that I was able to find. They are research-based. There are very clear ways in which things can be improved, relationships can be improved. And it's a wonderful time to be growing up right now because, really, these resources, even a generation ago,
yeah.
they just simply weren't available. And I think we're finally beyond the idea that, well, parenting is just going to come naturally.
Mm-hmm.
There really are things that make a difference, and we're so unaware of them. You know, how many times do we ever think about what our own home life was before we got married and brought it into our own new relationship? We don't even think about those things. They're so automatic.
Right.
But if they're not working, if it's just not working, then we have the ability to learn it a new way.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what some of the new materials and information can really highlight for individuals, adults, as well as the teens, is, hey, these are the arrows on the sidewalk. You know, these
mm-hmm.
are the blinky lights that you need to pay attention to. They're
right.
showing you that they work. And so just to help people be encouraged that it's out there, and if you really want to make those types of changes, you can.
Yeah, and I really appreciate the parents that take the proactive approach, because I think too often parents do wait until there's a problem and then say, oh, we have a problem, we need to fix it. And I think in this topic in particular, you know, looking at the proactive approach, you know, what I admire is parents who say, okay, I'm getting ready to be a parent, or I am a parent, my kids are young, I want to do the best job I can. Tell me what research says is the best way, you know, at least the most effective way, we never have guarantees, to go, so that they can prevent the problem in the first place. So you've mentioned several things already, and a few of those I'd like, if you could, to go back and maybe we can expand a little bit on in terms of preventing this problem with teen dating violence. One of the things you mentioned earlier is that we want children and teens to develop that sense of an inner voice and listen to that. So what are some ways that we can help children develop that voice that says, this is not right, and I have the confidence, because it takes a lot of courage. They may hear that voice and not act on it. It takes a lot of courage to then stand up and say, I need to do something and get out of this and stand up for themselves. So where does that come from, and how can we help children develop that?
Well, I think that that's one of the focuses of the programs that I've written. I want young people to think about it before they get into the situation. In the heat of the moment, or when you're in a fear situation, or when you're dating someone, it's pretty tough to think clearly if you're trying to make big decisions at that point. And so to me, education, giving young people an opportunity to work with some of these concepts ahead of time, so that they can get them in mind, so that they can make some of those decisions before they get into the situation, I just think that that's really critical.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, get to know someone before they go out with them. This is so important. Some stranger is not someone safe to just go with. You know, get to know the people that are around you. Be choosy about the types of people that you're interested in dating. You know, understand what this person brings to you if you decide to go out with them. What are you bringing? How are you preparing yourself for being a good partner someday? You know, what
mm-hmm.
are the strengths that you are bringing into a relationship that you would like to have someone value?
Mm-hmm.
Have a clear idea of your boundaries and your expectations. Understand how far is too far. And that way, when it's clear in your mind and someone is pushing that boundary, a young person can say, no, I've drawn a line in the sand. That's beyond my comfort zone. And that's when that little voice is just going to kick in and say, you know what, I'm not comfortable here. This
right.
person is not respecting me. You know, my opinions or my own values are not being honored. And that voice is going to come out loud and clear and say, you know what, this just isn't right.
Right, right. And that's the article that I'm sharing on self-esteem. I think you've really hit on it, because when you said that first of all, a teen has to recognize what value they bring to the relationship. If a child has a low self-esteem, they're not going to see that they have much worth. And there's a difference between building self-esteem, you know, through giving encouragement and other techniques, which are what I share with people in that article, versus raising kids with a lot of praise, which is more, you're doing it to please other people. You're doing it to get, you know, either a reward or you're doing it to get the praise. And that actually can set up kids to be more vulnerable to peer pressure because in the early years, you know, kids are doing things to please us, but then that shifts. And I think that that sense of peer pressure can have such a stronger hold on kids that don't have a strong self-esteem and are really tied up in their self-image and being accepted and I don't want to hurt his feelings or, you know, I don't want people to know that that's happened. So hopefully that article will give parents some suggestions about that.
And, you know, research even shows us that, Jody, that in the early stages of dating, many young people who enter dating before they're really emotionally ready or due to that peer pressure to get involved with someone, they are more concerned about, is this person popular? You know, how do I look when I'm with them? Those are not the types of things that keep a relationship together. Now, older teens have sort of worked through that, but there's a real evidence in our information that the younger teen is drawn to that, that popularity, and if the self-esteem is not strong enough to withstand, the peers do set the rules of engagement. Mm-hmm. Friends set the rules.
And, yeah.
You know, parents can really help that young person understand, no, you're an individual, and you're going to bring things to that relationship, and ultimately, the best marriages or the best relationships later in life are when two people share equally, when two people bring the same types of strengths and the same types of things to the relationship. They're in balance. And, mm-hmm. and you know, but it takes time to get there.
Right.
Young teens, you know, they're not there yet.
Right.
But with guidance, they can be. And I just think mm-hmm. we really need to encourage that sense of you know, you're going to be an independent person in this relationship, and so you're going to be part of a team.
Right.
So we want to build those skills
yeah.
so that they're comfortable with them.
Right. And we're starting to get to our last few minutes of the show here, about the last 3 minutes, so we need to start wrapping up. And we didn't get into it in much detail, but I know in 15 seconds or less when I asked this question, does the media play a role in influencing teens' decisions? And to make it quick, is it usually positive or negative?
Clearly the media is a big influence today because young people spend so much time with technology. The messages to young boys and to young girls, I think, are quite negative. And when we start to take a look at how that is influencing, there's lots of evidence that we really need to take a look at what the media is telling our young people about being a boy and about being a girl and how they interact together.
Yeah.
Clearly.
And having some discussions. That'll be our last message to parents, is to have discussions when those come up, to put that in context and share family values about what they believe is appropriate.
Absolutely, and
yeah.
to moderate some of those messages that are coming to our young people.
Right. Well, we're coming to the end of the show, so let's do a quick recap. Our guest today has been Shar Camper, and we've been talking about reducing teen dating violence. Shar, I appreciate all the insights and practical advice you've given us. So foster parents, remember to check out from the call for your continuing education hours by either sending a chat message or staying on the line for an extra 30 seconds. Then send your email to questions@parentstooltalk.com for verification of your attendance. And listeners, you can order this month's featured resources by going to www.parentstooltalk.com/links. Also go there to sign up for the Parents Tool Talk mailing list so you can get access to the post-show bonus resources for this month and every month to follow. So, Shar, thanks again for joining us. We've all learned so much, and I especially enjoyed our time together. Any comments before the final music starts to play?
Thank you so much for inviting me to be on your program, Jody. I think you just do a wonderful job of helping people, parents, young people, you know, the best of luck with it.
Well, thank you so much. And thank you again, Shar, not only for coming on and giving such wonderful information, but also for sharing such valuable resources. And please extend our thanks to your publisher, too, because I think they did a wonderful job creating resources that people can download and print in any size. I think that's wonderful. So thank you again for the resources that you've been sharing.
And thank you.
All right. Great. Well, thanks so much to everyone for listening and joining us today on Parents Tool Talk Radio. I'm Jody Johnson-Powell. My website is parentstoolshop.com, and I hope you can join us next month when our topic will be consumerism and teaching children about gratitude and giving. I wish you all a great month until we talk again next month.